I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey, Central Ohio. The Nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the Nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Get ready for the best hour of your grid day.
You heard it here first. The best hour of your day on Sports Grid starts now with your host, Kevin Walsh.
One of the easy ones, Donnie, where you look at it and the complaint starts to be, how about not that for more? You know what I mean? Like,
and Donnie Wrightside.
And I would like to see all the weight and anger and might of the NCAA / Big Ten smash that program into smithereens for the next 3 years.
On the Sports Grid Radio Network, Sirius XM Channel 159.
Football, football, football. Who's ready for more football? We certainly are right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. It's time for Moneyline. Donnie Wrightside, Kevin Walsh. Away we go into the afternoon. A lot of things popping here, which includes I can't wait for championship weekend in college football. The NFL starts back up tonight. The another version of Game of the Year, which does include the Philadelphia Eagles. Who knows what their ratings are across the NFL? The true America's team when it's all said and done. That's but America's point. Team will play tonight. The 49ers this weekend, the Philadelphia Eagles, and away we go, man. It's good stuff at this time of the year.
Yeah, I love it. Obviously, we've got the game tonight. The one thing that I do appreciate is you're a college football fan, obviously.
Yes.
But what really gets you invested is the opportunity to hate on someone.
Yeah.
And you had a big boost with being able to hate Michigan.
Yes.
And that now is just goes right into doing everything you can to talk Florida State out of the playoff.
Exactly. I mean, that's the name of the game this weekend. And I think I'm finally, I think the public's coming around to me now on what I was trying to preach. Being a fan of what Florida State did, but also, every once in a while I get a little tweet from somebody else, said it today. There's nothing wrong. Like, Florida State, and I said this, Florida State wins the ACC championship.
Yeah.
Kevin, celebrate that night. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Hold up that trophy. Mm-hmm. Sunday morning, if they put you into the college football playoff, Mike Norvell owes it to us, Kevin, to go live on national TV and rescind the offer and say, we'll go to the Citrus Bowl because it's just not fair. We're not as good as we were, and we don't want to take up a spot for a rightful team to win a national championship. See what I mean? The play out.
Which, obviously, I know you're kidding. But so there was a very brief interaction on Twitter with our good friend Gabe. And Gabe somehow, in the same string of tweets, said people are overreacting to the gap between Travis and Rodemaker. Alabama and Florida State are basically the same with Rodemaker in. As a Michigan fan, I really hope we get FSU so we can kill them. And it's like, the truth is there, though, man, right? The truth is there. Because that when that fan comes out, you always know, listen, man, I hope we get the injured team, right? That's the reality of it. And here's the thing that I've been trying to tell people, Donnie, is people are like, oh, you're unbeaten, you have to go. That's not true. Just because you're unbeaten, it does not mean you have to go. Does Florida State have a better catalog of wins? Not forget the losses. A better catalog of wins than Alabama? Because obviously we're talking about Alabama only if they beat Georgia. And they also beat LSU. And what they would have to try and host up would be a Louisville win and a Clemson win.
Well, Bama has Tennessee and Ole Miss, which are comparable there. There is nothing on Florida State's schedule that even remotely resembles a playing Georgia, much less beating Georgia. We have to be honest with ourselves here.
We are honest with ourselves, but just a lot of people aren't, because the preface for me always is the College Football Playoff Committee doesn't really understand like what the game of football is. Because if you want to say, like, okay, they're going to put them in because that's what they're deserving of, Kevin, didn't just a few weeks ago we laughed when they go, hey, oh, by the way, Ohio State's the best football team in the country. Right. That ain't true. How did that work out? They're not the best football team in the country. No. We all knew that. You can eye up Florida State, and yes, the season matters. And the reason I bring this up is play the entire season with Rodemaker at quarterback. They're not going unbeaten. It's just not going to happen. And you say, well, Don, you can't play it that way. I guess you can't. And you know what? If there was a 12-team playoff, welcome in Florida State. Florida State, come on into the tent, man. You know what? Prove us all wrong. Go win a national championship. We'll all eat crow. But I am a fan, just a true fan of college football. When I sit down to the College Football Playoff semifinals, I want to see what I know is going to be the four best teams. I don't want to sit on my couch with Georgia favored by 15 points over Florida State going like, my goodness, man. Like, let's just, like, boy, if Oregon was here instead, this game would be so much fun. That's the point. That's the only point.
And you know, last year, Saban attempted to use point spreads to try and get Alabama in, right? And it was kind of laughed at. But the reason why, but Saban had a point. You know, that stuff is relevant, right? Saban had a point. The difference was last year, Nick Saban's team had a one-point win over Texas and two field goal losses over good football teams. They didn't have any bad losses, right? But Alabama didn't have any great wins either. That ended up being like a 7-5, 8-4 Texas team. So the reality is, Donnie, we can look at the point spreads and should. They're there for a reason. And look, this is a battle, Donnie, that I don't want to spend too much time on because I know it's a losing one. But you know, Donnie, you hate when Notre Dame gets in the playoff, right? Because it's a waste of time. So why the hell are we okay with Michigan getting in? Because they've gotten their ass kicked both times. Georgia beat the crap out of them, and then they lost to a TCU team by 14, who ultimately then went on and lost by 60 to Georgia. Why are we putting Michigan in here? No problem. Because the Big Ten has not shown themselves favorably. Ohio State has, but not Michigan.
But the body of work, though, is there overall.
But consistency,
they're healthy, they're heavy.
You don't like when Notre Dame gets in, even though Notre Dame's body of work is fantastic every time.
No, but I always feel like Notre Dame gets in because it's like, hey, is there a way we can get them in with four losses? Because that's just what we do. Like, there's no way like the NCAA should cater to Notre Dame at all. It should be the opposite. Like, Notre Dame, unless you're going undefeated, don't even pull your chair up to the table. Like, we don't want to hear about it. That's the way I feel that way. But Florida State, and also some things can change. Rodemaker throws for 450 yards and four touchdowns, and they beat Louisville 62-3. Yes, I'm probably going to change my opinion. But also, I know what I saw against Florida. And don't give me rivalry game on the road. That first half, they looked atrocious. Did they have better players and their running back went wild? Yes, they did. But Florida stinks on ice. And by the way, Florida probably beats them if Graham Mertz is the starting quarterback in that game.
Yeah,
not a guy that's just masquerading right now as a college football quarterback. That's all I'm saying. And it would be nice if, like, let's just say on the opposite end was an undefeated Clemson team waiting for Florida State. And he said, hey, man, look, Florida State just beat an undefeated Clemson team. They deserve to go. It's the fact that we know Louisville isn't a good football. Here's how you know. Louisville isn't very good. 2.5-point line in this game. It's madness because it's not even – if Florida State was playing full blast in this game, what's that line? 8.5, 9.5, 10?
Yeah.
They would pace Louisville in that game.
I mean, think about it like this, Donnie. So before the loss to Kentucky, Louisville had a reason to believe that they could be a one-loss Power 5 conference champion. And nobody considered Louisville going to the playoff. Nobody for a second.
That's true.
That was a worthwhile conversation.
You know what? Now I almost wish that like Louisville came into that football game with one loss and beat Florida State. And I'm like, oh, well, you got to include Florida. You know, division winner. They should go over Georgia. They should go over Georgia because we value championships.
Yep.
Otherwise, what would you do now? All right, College Football Sunday selection. Hey, by the way, we got a surprise. Ooh, did Florida State actually get in? No! Liberty got in over Oregon because they have no losses on the season and they're Division I team. Congratulations. We know that's not supposed to happen. And neither is Florida State getting into the College Football Playoff. Debates left and right. Let's have some fun today, right here on SiriusXM Channel 159.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Right back at it here. Information flowing left and right. Florida State in, Florida State out. We have a feeling that these things typically take care of themselves. We are going to get some surprises. And how about if it was this surprise, K-Dub? Iowa knocks off Michigan. 14-13. I mean, come on now. Like, well, it's one of those. We never talk about that scenario at all. Why? Because it's, by the way, 23.5 down to 21.5. So big bites coming out of Iowa here. Iowa, I don't know. Again, the joke of it all is you're going to play a conference football championship, but one team's actually not supposed to score any points. It lets you know about what the Big Ten is all about. There's no like, hey, this is going to be close or this could go either way. But you want to talk about a fun scenario. Iowa up 7-6 entering into the fourth quarter. That would be fun.
No, I totally agree. I would love to see Iowa win that football game.
But then because it puts Florida State in. It's going to make me mad. So maybe it's
not
a good scenario.
Necessarily. Is it 100% guarantee it would be? Well, Donnie, because Florida State can still lose that game. Yeah, yes, Donnie. But if Michigan loses and Florida State loses, which again, there's a 2.5-point line. Like then you get you might then get Georgia back in. Who do you think would go? Georgia, Ohio State, Georgia.
Georgia. So here's it again. Like if I'm on the committee, SEC gets two no matter what. I don't care what the records are. Take the top two teams out of the SEC and put them in. And then everybody else gets the fight for the final two spots. Like I know there's a SEC bias out there in the wrong direction. It's almost like, you know, like it would be like me being a fan of the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's just say I wasn't, and I was just like a fan of, I don't know, the San Antonio Spurs. And I said, man, I grew up in Texas. Boy, I hated Jordan. Like, I said, where does that come from? Like, that's not a rival of the Spurs or anything. Like, the Sixers' direct rival, you know, in part was in an Eastern Conference opponent. And everybody in my friend, oh, we love Jordan. Say, I'm not going to like Jordan. Same way I didn't like Penn State or Notre Dame in the Northeast. Everybody likes him here. I didn't like him one bit. I'm like, no. So, of course, I'm with the Miami Hurricanes just to go opposite. But as I try to like ramp that up, it'd be fun to like just give me anarchy, but keep like Florida State out, man. That's all I'm asking for.
Well, again, it's Georgia's a 2.5-point line. Now, let me ask you this, Donnie, though, because here's a team that's not really being talked about a lot of if they lose. How do you think Washington, like, if Washington loses and it's them or Ohio State, who do you think of the two would get in?
I think Washington would get in because they played a top 10 opponent in their conference championship game, whereas Ohio State didn't. Ohio State didn't even make their championship game to even have that argument.
Yeah, but that's because obviously the division thing. I mean, you could say that that's the Big Ten's own fault, but I would.
It is the Big Ten's own fault. It really is.
I think the committee prefers Ohio State, prefers the Big Ten, even though the Pac-12 is unquestionably better than the Big Ten. I think they'd put Ohio State in if it came down to a one-loss Washington and a one-loss Ohio State. Like, and it's possible. Texas just has to lose, and it opens up a lot more chaos.
Yes, which I haven't watched all that much Texas football, but I'm not going to be upset if Texas ends up getting in. And when I talk about like the SEC bias, like you see so many times, past, yes, Alabama lost, and it's like cool, we get Washington back in it, or some, you know what I mean, some lower level team coming. Like it's really, again, it's really cool until something happens wrong. Like when I say, boy, would that be fun if Iowa won and knocked Michigan out, and then we get Florida State? I'm like, no, I want Michigan in. I don't want Florida State. See how it goes? Because the next level is like, well, what do you have next? And it's like, oh, here we go.
But again, that, like if Michigan gets in and gets beat bad again, then what? Like, will you then start to talk about them the way you talk about Notre Dame or G5 teams, or no?
No, because I don't see, like, I see them as a legit. Put it this way. Yeah, but put it this way. I never saw Notre Dame ever as a contender for a championship making it in or not with those football teams. They were good teams, don't get me wrong, but I didn't say coming into it, they actually should win. I come into the college football playoff with the notion that, yeah, you know what, Michigan should win this. I never had that feeling at Notre Dame, like ever at that point. Well, at least I should say in the college football playoff, because back in the day, when they, you know, they were really comparable and, you know, winning a national championship at least back in the day. But now, when they get in, I don't feel as like, yeah, you know what? I'll take a future on Notre Dame winning it all. I never have that feeling.
Right, but my point is, I think if Michigan gets beat down again this year, Michigan draws Bama in a 1-4, and Alabama beats them by 17.
Oh, I love it.
Like, but we need to have a conversation then about what the hell we're doing here with this Big Ten. Because
it's a hard notion to fight because again, Michigan has been very good this year, and so has Ohio State again up until they played Michigan.
Anyone?
No, I understand, but that's just the way the schedule felt. And you say, okay, they had two games, decent games to play. They pounded Penn State and they pounded Ohio State.
But see, and this is the biggest problem that I have with this stuff, though, Donnie. Like Alabama went unbeaten in SEC play.
Yes.
But they decided, like, you know what? No, we're going to do a home and home with Texas.
Correct. Dumb.
And they lost.
It says it's actually dumb to do that, is what it says.
Yeah, but that shouldn't be, like, quite frankly. Like, that's not what we should do.
No, it's not. It's not. Yeah, it's not college basketball, right? Quad one win. Who'd you play? Where'd you play them? You get credit for that. Alabama doesn't get credit for playing Texas and losing. It's like, ruined your schedule. You should have just played Northwestern Tech, and you would have ended up in the college football championship no matter what happened this weekend. Like, imagine that. They play Northwestern Tech. That's just a joke game, right?
Yeah.
Then you have Alabama and Georgia unbeaten. There's no way. They're both going. Hey, SEC champion, all right. See you guys in the playoff. Like, really, that's what would happen this weekend.
Right.
Because they'd be 1-2 right now.
Yeah, they would be. They would be. But instead, like, we got to penalize them because they play.
Now, hear me
schedule.
Out on this, Kit.
Like, what are we doing?
Because this obviously can't happen now. Let me tell you this, because I think the committee would do the same thing, to be honest. Number one and number two play each other. Number two, let's just say, is Alabama, and they lose that game. Let's just say 27-24, great game. Florida State would win. That college football committee would still put Florida State in, saying, like, respect the champion. They absolutely would still do that.
So are you going to have to stay up Saturday night to root home in Louisville, or are you just going to have to wake up in the morning and see what happened?
That's going to be tough. Well, yeah, my kid's got a doubleheader soccer game, but the good thing is they're early, so I'll be home for 4:00 to catch the SEC championship game. But I have a feeling it's going to happen again because I had a little bit of a smile on my face when, you know, double-digit lead by Florida going like, good, let's get this national nightmare done already. Don't worry about it. Yeah. And then Florida State ended up, I wake up and I saw they won. I'm like, oh, come on now. So now we got to go this week. Man, we beat a good Louisville team. No, you didn't. Mm-hmm. And it's not the point. And again, 12-team playoff, Florida State's in. Welcome. Florida State loses. Yeah. They're probably in.
Here's another, though, really odd thing, Donnie. Because there's some people are like, oh, man, look how far Alabama and Texas are. Like, they'd have to go a long way. Like, we are all assuming that Alabama is going to get in front of Georgia if they beat Georgia. But, like, that's a jump from 8-1. Like, that's a huge... Like, is this committee stupid enough to not put in Alabama even if they beat Georgia and put Georgia in over them?
They are dumb enough because, again, they told you Ohio State was the best team in the country. Like, they're giving – and also, for this – and I'm glad you brought that up because the theory of – did you see what the exact, you know, structure was last week on the votes coming in? And they go, oops, committee's telling you right now this team can't make it or Florida State wins. No, they don't. They switch it up every week. What do you mean?
Right, last week?
So that's – because it's not a concrete tablet. Like, oh, let's chisel this in. It can't change. And then next week we have to use this same template and go off it. No, they don't. They could change they could put Florida State at 9 next week. Ah, you know what? Only 1-1 against Louisville. Like, we don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah, it's so strange. And I'll tell you this, you know, I am sitting right now with 3 futures and I don't know how I'm supposed to feel about these games. I have an Alabama one, a Texas one, and a Florida State one, Donnie. And I'm sitting here like, are all 3 of these teams going to get left out? Like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah, this is setting up to be a lot of fun. Starts Friday night, which I always like as well, and then bleeds right into Saturday. Oklahoma State, Texas. That line's ballooned. Ooh, I had to sneeze. 15.5 at this point now. Up from 11.5 is the opening number. And the reason, again, I keep bringing this up, and whoever comes on the show in the early line, I keep asking the same question. Because I'm big on, like, stuff that goes outside the lines. And you say to yourself, okay, well, why is Oregon favored by this much? I don't actually think Oregon should be favored by that much, but they needed to win by that much. Why is the Texas line going higher? Because people are like, hey, Texas is going to win? No. Texas might have to score 60 points to say, hey, committee, look at us. Just in case we can get in, look at this final score here. Well, tell me Texas wins 17-14, and away they go. It's not going to happen. Let's talk some Thursday night football next. Seattle-Dallas right here on The Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Skills to pay the bills, K-Dub. That's what we're talking about tonight. Yes. Do we actually get a total that hits the over? I don't know, Kevin, but you know what one thing I do know? Dallas wins, and Dallas wins by margin. Dallas does whatever they want on offense. That's my angle tonight.
Okay.
If you follow me on Twitter, I already fired away. I'm excited. I cannot wait to watch this game.
Yeah, I saw some of the tickets that you had already jumped out there, mm-hmm. and with that, I obviously owe you a thank you. Because I am trying to get a season-long wager in the door
mm-hmm.
yep. that has been dead on arrival for months now. Mm-hmm. And then you put life back into it. For anybody yep. that does not know, I bet Tony Pollard over 7.5 rushing touchdowns for the season. Week one, he had 2 rushing touchdowns against the New York Giants. I could not believe that I made the greatest bet in the history of football. This was going to hit before we even got ourselves to October. And then Tony Pollard refused to get into the end zone. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was 8-9 straight weeks of no touchdowns for Tony Pollard, despite the Cowboys being one of the best offenses in football. Donnie came in, saved the day. Best bet anytime touchdown score against Carolina. He mm-hmm. finally gets in. Donnie followed it up with another Tony Pollard yeah. touchdown score wager. I don't know if it was your best bet again on Thanksgiving, but I know it was a wager for you on Thanksgiving against Washington. Boom, Tony Pollard, yeah. easy as you like. We're back at it again here. Hopefully, we continue the Tony Pollard touchdown train.
I think it was. I haven't lost the best bet in a long time, which is phenomenal stuff on the third
Red
or
hot.
The whatever we've been doing, like one of those segments. It's been a lot of fun. But yes, I think it was Pollard again, which was a joke. Like, hey, just keep rolling it over. And tonight, it's going to be it again. Then we keep rolling this party going. But yes, Tony Pollard finally back in the good graces here. And by the way, I protected myself a little bit because I think it's almost, and again, we know how these things lose. For Dak Prescott's going to throw 2 touchdown passes tonight because he's going to get back in the MVP conversation. You can have the secondary there for the Seattle Seahawks. I got a couple other things wager in, but on my part, by the way, Bet365 K-Dub, 50% odds boost tonight, sensational, rocked
nice.
It out, that's where I went. So it literally gave me, on my $100 wager, an extra $100 if I win, which is awesome. But I protected myself. I went straight, -138 at Bet365, Tony Pollard to score an anytime touchdown. But in my same game parlay, I went on 365, which I love some of the stuff they can do. I just took Dallas to score a rushing touchdown as opposed to Pollard
okay.
because I'm not saying it's to, because if it hits, which I do think he scores, and I'm confident he does, well, Donnie, why don't you do it the same way? Well, it doesn't actually make sense to say take it straight, then put it in a parlay. I don't like to do that because if he doesn't score and everybody else plays well and Dak sneaks one in, I'm going to be like, why did I do that? Even though I like the bet, I just wanted to separate it because Dowdle can get in, CeeDee Lamb can run one of his reverses into the end zone, Dak can call his own number on the goal line, which we see him do. That's the only change I made, but I do think Dallas moves the football. And by the way, that parlay is Dak to throw 2 touchdown passes, CeeDee Lamb to have 50 yards receiving or more, Pollard to have 50 or more yards on the ground, and the Dallas Cowboys to score a rushing touchdown. Doesn't matter who it is.
So it's one of those things, as long as Dallas's offense touchdown-wise shows up, you should be fine, right? The yeah. yardage, you know, you're
3 touchdowns is what I need, like split, right?
Yeah.
Two in the air,
mm-hmm.
one on the ground, who cares who gets it, and hopefully it's Tony Pollard.
So it's funny, Donnie, because I really wanted to bet Seattle tonight. I think it's like a... it's a good spot in terms of, like, just what we know as spread bettors, right? We just watched the Seahawks get smashed on Thanksgiving. Dallas smashed Washington. Dallas has been smashing everyone. 9-point mm-hmm. line. Like, this is a good spot usually to come in and back Seattle. The problem is I don't actually think there's any value on the Seahawks line. Just looking at the way some of the other things have been priced, I needed double digits, and I didn't get that. So I actually backed away. I leaned towards Seattle. Again, I think it is a good spot for the Seahawks, but not good enough for me to bet the 9.
No, it's not. And this morning, like, we pick aside a total and a prop bet in the football game, yeah. and I didn't even think twice. It was just the Dallas Cowboys. And it's not as if I love the Cowboys, but haven't we seen this so many times? And also, I don't know what I'm getting out of Geno Smith. Like, when I first looked at the number this weekend, 40 or this week was 47.5. Man, that feels like an over. It feels like we can finally get that. Two teams not really on a Thursday night schedule, on a Sunday schedule. We should get the best of it. And I said, watch this play out. Ooh, Dallas is really good. God, come on, Geno. Like, what is the, like, are you alive out there? Like, I don't want to be stuck there. So I just prefaced everything from a Dallas offensive standpoint, hoping that I do get return fire back from Seattle, because that'll help some of the other things that, you know, Dak to throw an extra touchdown if they need one at the end of the game. All that stuff wrapped into it. I just can't go near Seattle.
Yeah, I'm Zach Charbonnet up tonight. So that's going to be my main angle that we'll do on the PFT side of things. Actually, no, it's all groundwork for me. Dallas been a little vulnerable on the ground recently, Donnie. And I don't know what the Seattle game plan is going to be, but because I think that it's a good spot where Seattle can stay within range, you know? Like, maybe this game lands 10, but I think Seattle can stay within range, so I think there's going to be enough opportunities there for Zach Charbonnet. So I've got a little Zach Charbonnet in the fold here tonight for my action.
And the thing I couldn't understand this, like when we're going over some of the prop bets, was myself. Like, this is the games that you should be just lining up wide receivers, not for the Dallas Cowboys, but for the Seattle Seahawks. Like, you saw Sam Howell last week throw for over 300 yards because they threw the whole game because they were getting pasted. Like, that should be the case. Like, DK Metcalf, I actually was thinking about it. Like, let me just put DK to get over 50 yards today. I'm like, no. Like, I've seen this scenario play out way too many times here. So I was just like, you know what? Let me just go Dallas Cowboys. If CeeDee Lamb ends up with 38 yards tonight, then so be it. I don't think that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. If Pollard is shut down and only has 16 rushing yards, then so be it. But I don't think that's going to be the case. I think the offense is coming from Dallas here.
Yeah, I think that, again, their offense has been absolutely on fire. I think it's a little step up in class in terms of defense that they're facing here in this football game. I think the good point you make about the total is this isn't a traditional Thursday game. Correct. Now, all primetime games are going under. Mondays, Sundays, I mean, they're all going under, but this is not a short rest week here, which is key. Which is, by the way, interesting that Kenneth Walker still couldn't make the starting game. You know, everyone's going to focus, and I understand why, on Dallas tonight because they're the damn Dallas Cowboys. And the following week, they get to play the Eagles. By the way, the Eagles, we do this every year, Donnie. Like, the Eagles get the Niners off their mini-bye and the Cowboys off their mini-bye, right? Like, it's just, this is how the Eagles' schedules looked for, like, years now. But, nevertheless, the Seattle Seahawks might miss the playoffs.
Yes.
Like, they're going to have to pull off an upset somewhere. Or they're going to, because they lost to the Rams twice already, Donnie. So tiebreaker be damned if they end up with the same record as that football team.
Yeah, Seattle's hanging on that sixth spot here. Minnesota, we'll see. I think Minnesota's going to start to fade now, 6-6. But I think the Green Bay Packers will be on the up and up. And you take a look at the New Orleans Saints. They're right in there with the Atlanta Falcons. And if you ask me now who's the better football team, I'd probably take both of those teams over Seattle. Now, maybe things change and Seattle might get it. What is Seattle's schedule, by the way? Let me just take a look. Let's go to NFC strength of schedule. They're eighth in the league at actual strength and schedule.
Next week. And then the Eagles the following week.
And Cowboys tonight, and the Steelers, who are trying to do some things. Yeah, they're done. See you, Seattle. It was nice knowing you. Geno got a little bit of money. Good for him. Had a nice season. Parlayed into an extra year. And they're going to be looking for a quarterback there into the future. What do you think about this? Zach Ertz and his 187 yards receiving and one touchdown this year, being released from the Cardinals, hoping to sign with a contender. Who's that sound like?
Well, so everyone obviously runs to Philly. Does Philly want him? Like, Goddard's supposed to come back. Is it just a sentimental thing? Let's do it? Like, what do you think happens there?
Well, the reason I sit, like, is usually you carry three tight ends healthy. So Goddard would be one when he comes back. So I'm working out today. I don't think he's playing this weekend, but he'll be back sooner than later. It's Calcaterra, who I think might have retired from like concussions. Stoll is the other guy that you see every once in a while, but they don't get an impact. And by the way, I'm glad we're talking about this too. Like, the Philadelphia Eagles' weak spot up until Zacchaeus like actually made a play. I'm like, man, where is their tight end and third wide receiver? It's like, is Devonta, AJ, or nobody's open at all with no looks? So maybe if they did get Zach Ertz back on that team. Again, it's the same thing when you talk about, you know, who is it? Shaq Leonard gets cut from Indianapolis. And the Dallas Cowboys fans even said, sign him, sign him, sign him. There's a reason why he's not signed yet, and he's going to make his decision this weekend. Because both of those teams brought him in and go, look, we think you have something left in the tank. But if you think you're going to be like the starting middle linebacker and have the green dot on your helmet, it's not happening here. That's why he's still out there. And also why he was cut from Indianapolis, who is fighting tooth and nail to make the playoffs. You're not cutting good football players. Which, again, Zach Ertz is a great story. 2017 Zach Ertz. You're getting him? Yeah, sign him up. 2023 Zach Ertz? Sentimental. Yeah, having said that, sign him up. Yeah.
Right. I wonder, he's a Cali guy, went to Stanford, he's from California. So I wonder, you know, he's not going to go to the Rams, I don't think, if he wants to do a Super Bowl push, right? Are the Niners interested in him at all? Maybe. Who, like, could the Jaguars potentially with Doug Peterson? Possible, right? He's got a couple, you know, enough irons in the fire, Donnie, right? Like, he's going to end up on a team. I'm interested to see how interested people are in his services.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out there. Well, I know he's interested in. How about they're showing some highlights of Ezekiel Elliott? Why? Because he's 2 yards over a season yards prop, maybe. That's why they're showing him right now on highlights out here. And by the way, last week I was rolling all running backs because I'm just getting fed up with the quarterback play, and it worked like a charm. Let's take a look at this weekend again. I might be rolling again with some New England Patriots like Ramondre Stevenson. Who's Zappe was taking first-team reps. It looks like Zappe from what the reports are coming out right now. Like, I think there was even something that said, like, Mac Jones wasn't even taking snaps. It was all Cunningham and Zappe at practice. So I think they might be that one little, like, look ahead. Also, after this break, we got to talk about something as well. You weren't on the show yesterday, but I get such a kick out of this. Aaron Rodgers opening his 21-day window here, and all eyes on the Jets. I can't get enough of this story because of the hater in me overall, and I wish I ran the Jets because apparently Aaron Rodgers does, and I think it might be to the detriment of the New York Jets, even for next year or the year after that. Aaron Rodgers on deck. Who would have thought that? Well, maybe a lot of people. We'll be right back right here on the grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, party people, you want to talk some Jets football here? Yes, the irrelevant New York Jets. Only relevant because Aaron Rodgers wants to be relevant, which means I don't care if it helps the team. I want to come back. I want to play football. I want to see if I can win a football game, even if we tank our own draft stock here. The Jets are finally doing the right thing. Do you know who gives them the best chance to actually win a game? It's Zach Wilson. Do you know they're running out this weekend? Mr. Boyle again, who is horrendous, which shows me they're headed down the right path. Don't win any more games. Get a higher draft pick as you could possibly get. But we could see maybe the final two games of the season, and one of them being against a dead Washington Commanders team, which you might be fighting in the standings to stay behind to make sure you get a better draft pick. And I can see Aaron Rodgers coming back. Why? Because Robert Saleh said, well, it's up to him. Fantastic, Jets. If it's up to him, I hope he plays the final three games when you're out and wins two of those, and you draft 19th instead of 6th. How about that?
It is a very bizarre thing, what is going on right now, though, Donnie, because odds are when he is healthy, they will be out of it. And forget the, look, let's put ourselves, you know, in position for the, you know, best draft pick possible. Look, good for Rodgers for working himself back to the point where he is ready to go. But, like, why would you risk that? We all know they're going with Rodgers next year. They have to. He's not retiring. He's their starting quarterback next year. So if Rodgers is ready, you know, Christmas week, and the Jets have lost another three consecutive games from that point on, why is Rodgers playing? I don't understand. How is that in the best thing? Forget Donnie, you have to believe you can make the playoffs to put him out there.
Yes.
Otherwise, you are risking massive injury. You're risking his career.
Yes. No, but the whole in totality here, they're not good enough to make it. Like, Tim Boyle is not going to win any football games. So I don't know when Aaron Rodgers thinks he's coming back. But the fact of the matter is, like, you can't actually, and to be honest, if you want the real seriousness of this, I don't know how many years Aaron Rodgers has left. But it's almost like, to me, like, Aaron Rodgers has this, like, deviant mind that's saying to himself, if I don't come back, we might lose out every game. They might draft a quarterback in the top 10, who eventually will be my successor, but that doesn't help me. If I can come back and win one or two games, they'll be able to take a solid wide receiver that will help me. Now, am I crazy for thinking that? Because what if you sit down, like Woody Johnson, Joe Douglas, Robert Saleh in the same room. Aaron, you're our guy next year. Love that you're working hard. This is actually going to help you in the offseason. Practice like you want to play. Get into that game mode. Season ends, you continue it, and by the time training camp hits, you're going to be a raging bull out there like whatever happened to me, nothing. Like, I feel fantastic. But it doesn't say, like, Aaron Rodgers is like in his 20th year in the league. Hey, man, I really need to get those reps in December. And also, did we not forget the New York Jets quarterbacks running for their lives this season as if he's a 2010 version of himself. Right. He's going to be limping around out there behind that O-line in cold weather and on the turf up in the Meadowlands where he got injured? Madness.
The remarkable thing, though, Donnie, is the position they've put themselves in. They play the Falcons this week at home. The Falcons. They're like, well, they're obviously not going to win that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I agree. Like, the Falcons, like, Desmond Ritter is going to play that defense. They're like, well, come on now. We know the final score is, you know, 23 to 10.
That defense, too, with the Jets. I mean, come on. We give you a lot of hype there to give up 30 a week now, it seems like. So we're not even like, hey, we're going to hold you under 20 points and beat you. They don't even do that on defense. I'm telling you, Boyle quarterback is hilarious to watch. So I don't think they beat the Jets or the Atlanta Falcons. You know when they would beat the Falcons? Zach Wilson was quarterback. I'd believe that.
He's better than Boyle, so I don't. You know,
he is better than Boyle,
but they don't believe in Zach Wilson at all. Simeon's better.
They don't want to win.
Simeon's also.
They shouldn't even want to win anymore. Their job is to like the Jets. Be like, hey, you know what, Aaron? It's up to you, kid. We just lost 9 in a row. You sure you want to come back in this last football game?
Right. Can I ask you, Donnie, with Robert Saleh? I don't really know what to make of Robert Saleh, the head coach, because he's a defensive guy, and his defense now for two consecutive years is very, very good. But at the end of the day, his win-loss record is atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's the quarterback's fault. What do you make of Robert Saleh, the head coach? Do you think he's brought back next season? This team finishes
with
5-12.
Yeah, no, the word on the street is, you ready for that? And again, this is what's so hilarious about Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is one of those guys that I feel like, you know, wherever the wind blows at one point, you ask him, like, hey, what about retirement? You know what? Soon as the season ends, I'm going to have to, like, go into a, dark room for 4 days and decide. The word on the street is, he basically told the Jets, yeah, I'm coming back next year. So is Saleh, so is Nathaniel Hackett, so is Joe Douglas. That's what the word on the street this week coming out was. So him just pulling the entire strings of the organization where Robert Saleh would come back. Why? Because Aaron Rodgers wants him to. Because if you fire him and say, well, hey, Joe Douglas, I don't like the moves you make. You got Aaron Rodgers, who's my next GM. Yeah, you know what? I'm just going to retire now. Because he can do that. He's got plenty of money. He doesn't need money or anything to play anymore, which is why they were on pins and needles. Like, oh, no. Towards Achilles. Is he finally just going to be like, you know what? The jig is up out here, man. I gave it a good run. I thought I was in a great situation, but my body just won't let me do this. But the fact that he's coming back, and again, we're Robert Saleh 2 weeks ago. What do you think about Aaron Rodgers coming back? Instead of even saying, like, hey, man, he's working really hard, his exact quote, yeah, it's up to him if he wants to come back and play. Goodness.
I don't know, man. It's very, very weird what's going on.
Not the doctors. Not like we'll see. Not like, boy, he's the heart of a champion. If we're in it, it could be fun to watch. It was, I don't know where we're going to be, but if he wants to play, he's going to play.
Which, to some degree, something like that, like, I actually think it's understandable, right? But, like, have the Jets team doctors looked at Aaron Rodgers? Like, are they even allowed to see him? Or is it just, like, Rodgers and his special team? Like, that's the...
Yeah. Where is he rehabbing at? Is it, like, his own team? Yeah, like, Tom Brady would bring in his guy and be like, hey, by the way, we think your knee hurts. I don't really care what you say. I'm going to go visit my guy after this, and that's the decision I'm going to make.
Well, what you said, Don, what Sean Payton did with Russell Wilson, he got there. He's like, Russell, how many guys that are his? Yeah, cool, they're all gone. All right, so enough of that.
Hey, did you talk to Rush yet? No, I didn't, but his entire team is fired, and I'll let him know that a little bit later. Like, there wasn't any, I talked to him before this, and we'll have a good game plan together. It was almost like he actually didn't know the team was in the building with offices, and at the first press conference, he's like, Russ, you said Russ has a team that's, they're all gone, so we'll start there.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter who it is. This Rodgers stuff, man. Can I ask you this, though, DRS?
Mm-hmm.
Does he get in the comeback player of the year conversation if he comes back?
I mean, isn't that the comeback player of the year, though? Yeah. Like, hey, I tore my Achilles and I came back and played in the same year. It's crazy. And like, if he, I don't mean comes back and like takes a snap and takes a knee, like, oh, that was courageous. Like, right. Comes back and like, you know, Christmas or Christmas Eve, whenever they play, and like wins the football game. Like, I don't know what comeback player of the year is. That sounds like it's comeback player of the year.
Because here's the bizarre thing with this. I'm going to pull up the odds. There's a lot of people out there who have said DeMar Hamlin confirmed player of the year, comeback player of the year, as soon as he took the snap. The problem is the market doesn't agree or think that's true. I mean, he's minus 300, so that's actually gone up recently. But even that, still, Donnie, is like massively positive.
Yeah.
Rodgers is at 16. Why is T.J. Watt 75-1?
Did he get hurt last year, right?
I mean, that thought he won like defensive player of the year last year, didn't he?
I don't know. Who knows? Maybe he's coming back from being great, man.
Being awesome.
You know what I mean? There's some different criteria. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey, nobody has a good year back to back. Well, this guy is. All right, comeback player of the year, though. So he might even be even better at this point.
I still cannot get over the Dan Campbell coach of the year thing. I'm not understanding it.
Love him. Hey, you got to win the press before you win that award, Kevin. And that's the way to do it. You give out good quotes, you be accessible to the media, you have some fun, and away you can go in that spot here. By the way, real quick on this, we're going to hit the update here in just a few moments. The college, it seems like to me, if you, like, kids, teach your kids, or should I say, parents, teach your kids to be a college quarterback. Like, shouldn't you just be like an open free agent every year? Like, let's just say you get drafted you sign on to Alabama. And you actually play as a freshman. Like, just hit the portal and say, who's paying me the most money? And okay, he's going to go to USC. After your year at USC, if you played well or not, hit the portal again and just go for the top signature. Like, the top bag you can get. I see Riley Leonard hit the portal, DJ Uiagalelei, KJ Jefferson. And I'm interested to see who's more. And I love that Matt Rhule came out and goes, yeah, by the way, man, good quarterback going to cost you about $2 million a year now. I was like, man, college football. Thank God for all the people that love the, you know, you got to pay to play, and it's great that these guys are getting paid. My goodness, the chaos kicking in on this. Every year, you have to just re-up like your starting quarterback as if he's a NFL player. Tremendous.
But it is tremendous. Like, Don, let me ask you this, right? Like, with DJU hitting the portal, and every people are like, oh, my God, I don't know how we feel about that. Well, his head coach just got $7 million from Michigan.
His team's going to play in Division III next year. So anybody that wants to leave Washington State, go ahead. Hit the portal. Because that team is gone. They're gone. It's over. They're going to play Division III football out there. It's unbelievable what's going to happen to Oregon State, which is a crime, you know, that school. Imagine you sign on to Oregon State. Like, hey, man, we're challenging for the Pac-12 championship. Hey, coach, how about next year? We're at Valdosta State to open it up. Get excited, boys.
Oh, that's too good, man. Oh, my gosh. I guess you're not. Yeah, man, what are those programs going to look like, Donnie?
Like, because
no one signed up there to play Mountain West football.
No. Like, you're talking about, like, the facilities at Oregon State still are very good. It's not like you're saying, like, okay, how can I compare it? Like, Alabama or Texas, right, with their big stadium going, hey, by the way, you don't even have a conference. Like, we can fill up a 110,000-seat stadium here. They're still nice stadiums, but they're not massive. Washington State is a very small one. But can you imagine? And again, Oregon State just lost their cook. Good for him, too. Like, hey, look, I'm getting out of Dodge. You guys can't blame me. DJU doing the same thing. But if you're like the new coach coming in, hey man, why don't you come to Oregon State? Let's see what we did last year. Well, who are we playing this year? You know, we don't even have a schedule yet. I'm pretty sure we got a uniform, but why don't you come up here and play for us?
That's so good, man. By the way, you see Deion's been losing commits left and right?
Yes. You know what? It's such a... That's one of those where, like, if we weren't into, like, this big football week, I would like to spend an entire show to talk about what's going on at Colorado, because he came in like an absolute comet. Now, I'm not saying what he did was wrong, because your goal was to make money for your university, and he did that. But I know and most of us have played sports at some certain level. I'm telling you right now, He's the type of coach I probably would not have won the play for. And I played for some hard-ass coaches in my life, Kevin. Like, man, this guy doesn't even crack a smile. But you see, like, the game plan here, it almost feels like the way he came in was like, I'm going to change it up, and I fully expect to win my first year. We win a couple games. I got a great coaching staff. You got coaches defecting, players defecting, recruits going like, well, like, is it even stable up there at this point? Because he's almost running it like a professional organization, which you really can't do in college, because any sign of fracture, like, hey, I have one of the funnest offenses in the nation. Do you see what Shadur is doing? That's my offense here. Do you want to come here and coach? Yeah, play for Dion. Have a, I'm going to throw 50 times a game. Oh, yeah, Sean Lewis, hit the bricks here. You're going to leave. And the quarterbacks, they're not getting recruited by Deion Sanders. They're going to recruit back the guy who's telling, like, look, here's the offense you're going to be playing in here. That's an interesting one. It really is, Deion in Colorado.
That Sean Lewis thing is the biggest mistake Deion made. Because now, instead of being able to tell other coordinators, see, look, I just got this guy the San Diego State job. It's, yeah, okay, maybe I took his duties away from him in the middle of it, but he still got a good job.
Yeah, I'm going to buy in. I'm going to uproot my family. I'm going to leave a head coaching job to be your offensive coordinator. Let's take this thing to the moon. Oh, yeah, by the way, it's your fault. Amazing. One more segment to go right here on Moneyline.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Last segment here, Thursday Night Football, Seattle Seahawks, Dallas Cowboys. I'm all Dallas'd up tonight. Usually like to cheer on the over, and I know when I get up to the studio tonight, I'll fire in a wager for each quarterback to run the football. God. One will guaranteed hit like it does every week. The other one won't come close, which has happened each and every week. It's almost like if I just bet it each the same, there'd be no harm, no foul, but that's not the name of the game.
Tonight.
Exactly, but I feel like I have to get in on it again, and that won't work out. But I am real confident tonight. Like, some days we get in there, Kevin, on primetime football games, and it's like... Let me try to string something together. And a lot of times, I drive and think about it, then sit down in Homedale and say to myself, all right, let's put it together. I was so excited by this card, the minute I got off the early line, I put my bets in. Because that's how you know I'm ready to go tonight.
Did you see the boost?
Is there one? No, because there wasn't one last time I checked.
Go look.
The ESPN boost is horrendous tonight. But let me go ahead. Oh, let me see. So we're alting stuff here. Let me see. So let's go. Boosts. Prescott and Gino. Wow. Oh, my goodness. You know what's funny about that?
We got to take it.
The fact, we do have to take it. But it just doesn't, it doesn't feel right that it's only boosted to plus 100, though, to be honest. Like, the minute I see 500, it scares me away, and then I go back to my, I think Dak has a big night, but I'm not sure Gino can even throw for 200. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm getting, that's what I'm thinking right now. Oh.
If you had to write down individually, I got Dak thrown for about 320, I got Gino thrown for about 240. Like, I don't see how these guys combine for 500.
Don't
really
see how they could do that here. Yeah, sooner or later, we're going to get the 504s back. And what did this say? Oh, I needed 15 more yards out of Josh Dobbs last time out. I feel like we're going to have a really good night in the studio tonight. So make sure you guys join us. Pro Football Today, 7 p.m. tonight till 9. At least get you through that first quarter, popping bottles. And also, I like the show because it's not just, hey, guys, you're going to talk an hour about the game and then during it. Like, no, we're going to bring up the relevant hot topics throughout the weekend that's going to happen, which includes Philadelphia and San Francisco, and away we go. That's the way to do it. Look at that. Thursday in the books. The hour goes by quick. You know it. And we will be partying tonight as we watch live. Maybe an over in the NFL on primetime. Could it be? Maybe. Stay tuned now for Coast to Coast for JP Behind the Wheels of Steel. Donnie Wright side along with Kevin Walsh. Thank you for tuning into Moneyline. We'll be back tomorrow for a monster Football Friday.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisiscle.com/podcast.